This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. And we go to Peter Husey, president of Geostrategic Analysis, a fellow at the National Institute for Deterrent Studies, to help us with two different reports that come together about nuclear weapons. One is the report in the Washington Examiner recently. China scuttled hopes from President Donald Trump that Washington could engage Beijing and Russia in what is called denuclearization talks. And then there's the parade in Beijing in these last hours where the People's Republic of China's PLA showed off its latest equipment, including, I believe, nuclear weapons or those that can deliver nuclear weapons. Peter, a very good evening to you. Denuclearization talks and the parade in Beijing before the Forbidden City. These two don't go together. What is the message here? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and good evening, Gordon. What the Chinese are doing is saying, we believe nuclear weapons are for coercion to help us achieve our hegemonic goals, which is light years different from what America sees nuclear weapons, which is to deter bad guys from doing bad things. China wants its nuclear weapons to enable bad guys, they and Russia and North Korea, to do bad things. And so what they paraded was, I counted 16 new missiles of all kinds, cruise missiles, long range missiles, one that supposedly goes 20,000 kilometers. And what they're basically saying is, you're not going to push us around anymore. We're going to push you around. And that's totally different than their arms control view, which is, we don't care about arms control, Mr. Trump. We don't care about Iran. We don't care about North Korea. In fact, we've helped encourage that proliferation. And so they basically have taken any kind of restraint or arms control off the table. And now we're now paying attention to the man behind the curtain. We now know what they're up to, which is they have more ICBMs than we do, well over 400. And they're developing a new mobile system. And they have warheads, people think around 600. I think it's more than that. But they're rapidly going up, as what the defense folks say, is they're increasing their defense nuclear stuff faster than what the Soviet Union did at the height of the Cold War.
Gordon, you have a question for Peter.
Peter, we have only one remaining arms control agreement with the Russian Federation, New START. New START expires in February of next year.
Right.
If there are no talks with China on arms control, what happens with arms control discussions between the United States and Russia?
Well, Russia has shown no interest, except for rhetorically a few times, saying, well, if we can solve the Ukraine problem, maybe we can talk about arms control. But we've not had any arms limit talks with China, really, technically, ever. They are members of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, but they violated that in the sense of they put together in 1982, as you know, under Deng Xiaoping, a program to help Pakistan develop nuclear weapons, and they helped Pakistan help North Korea, Libya, and Iran also build nuclear weapons. So they're in the proliferation business, which is what the president has been trying to talk about. It's not just, people call it denuclearization. Well, it's on Korea and Iran. And that the Chinese have shown no interest whatsoever. So we're going to be in a very, very brave new world in which we have zero restraint, at least legally on paper in a treaty with anybody with respect to nuclear weapons. And so that's why our allies in Japan and South Korea and other places are very worried about whether or not our deterrent, our extended deterrent, will work down the road with respect to dealing with both a massive increase in China, Russia already at 5,000 nuclear weapons, and of course, North Korea, you pick a number, which you think is principal. So we are going to be in a very tough spot where deterrence becomes the number one requirement for the United States nuclear forces. And that's why we're modernizing, though we're slow to do it. We kicked the can down the road for 20 plus years. And now we're in the business of going fairly quickly in this direction. But it's going to be tough, Gordon, because there are competing interests and we started so far behind the eight ball.
I think I remember in that initial conversation between President Trump and President Putin before the meeting in Anchorage, that President Putin, according to President Trump, raised START or something like START talks, restarting, beginning again. Do I remember correctly, Peter? They teased START?
Yes, there was a tease that we could extend new START another 5 years. We already extended it 5. We could do another 5. And the question then is, with Russia, some of the systems they have, they don't count under new START, which should. And so they have kind of free pathways to grow, which we don't. We're very restrict about interpreting the treaty. We keep everything within basically 700 platforms or launchers. And the Russians have 500 roughly, and they could build up and claim, oh, those aren't under new START. So we could extend the treaty, but end up even further behind than we are now.
Was there any mention of talking again about it?
The talks are really tough to do because the Russians have suspended inspections. They've suspended ongoing requirements under the treaty. And they said, well, if you solve Ukraine, which means surrender, then we can talk about arms control. So we are really in a mess, Gordon, with respect to there isn't really any ongoing discussions with either Russia or China on this issue. The administration is faced with, they put it on the table and it's dismissed. That makes it really tough to put it as a priority, because where do you go with that? We need to do this. It would be important, but my conservative friends don't think we should extend new START. That there's some things that just don't fit into that rubric. Plus, it doesn't deal with China. And the United States Senate said, if you're going to do another arms control deal, you have to include China and you have to include short range theater systems. That makes it really tough to do, because you can scratch your head and figure out you have 3 people, 2 of who are enemies of us. They get the same number of weapons we do, which means they have a 2-to-1 advantage. The Senate's never going to ratify a treaty that way. So my view is, individually, you could restrict things like multiple warhead land-based missiles, restrict them to like 100 on each side, do something like that, or at the very least have transparency so we know what the Chinese have. And the Russians. That would be useful in the sense of being able to plan. Again, it doesn't look good at going out there, but at least if we knew what they had, we could plan our deterrent to balance theirs and to deter them.
Gordon, a question about Xi Jinping, since he is the boss of bosses. Are the nuclear weapons important to him as a power projection? Does he think about it or talk about it? We have 30 seconds.
He doesn't talk about it, but a year after he became general secretary, state and party media ran identical stories about how Chinese submarines launching nuclear-tipped ballistic missiles could take out 13 American cities and kill 100 million Americans. So, yeah, he's thinking about it.
And, Peter, is that your opinion of China, that they use this as a sword drawn?
Yes, it is. Their view is nuclear weapons are a coercive tool,
right,
to help China achieve its hegemonic objectives. And they're perfectly willing to brandish the sword that they have and tell us we're building more.
Peter Husey, Gordon Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.